Welcome to Off Topic Talk, the podcast where we talk about hobbies, news, entertainment, and anything else of interest that comes our way. This is show number 12 for November 17th, 2006. Please visit the website at offtopictalk.blogspot.com. Good evening, everyone. You may notice that this show is titled number 12, but there wasn't one labeled number 11. In my own rather haphazardous numbering scheme, I decided that my Halloween special was show number 11. I'm still playing around with the format of the show, and I'd really like to hear what people think of the changes, so don't be shy about leaving me a little feedback, letting me know what you think about the changes or about the show in general. And since I've mentioned feedback, I'm going to share some. To start with, Chris from the Memepunks blog passed along some more information on the topic of immortality. I'll drop another link in the show notes for some more information that he was sharing on the subject of extending lifespans. I'd also really like to thank Russell Burt, author and host of the horror podcast Come Let Me Whisper. Russell had some very nice things to say in his show number 29, and you can find a link to his podcast in the show notes for Off Topic Talk number 10. Jarek is a listener from the forums over at the Sci-Fi Dig podcast, and he's been dropping me notes about the show pretty much since its inception. I'm pretty sure he's the first listener I've had who was not a personal friend, and I greatly appreciate his continued presence and his comments. Jarek, thanks a lot. I hope you stay with us for a long time yet. I also heard from John Lenihan, author of the patio book Shadow Magic that I talked about recently. Mr. Lenihan informed me that his patio book has 32 episodes, not 18, as I originally mentioned in show 10. I don't know where I got the number 18 at this point, but knowing that we're going to get almost twice as much story as I originally thought, I am not going to complain. Check show number 10 show notes for links to the Shadow Magic patio book. Once again, I really appreciate hearing from everyone, and I look forward to getting more commentary in the future. I've got a few interesting articles, videos, and bits of news to share to begin the show tonight. A common question among people who study history, archaeology, anthropology, is about ancient structures and how they were built, the pyramids, Stonehenge, and the like. In this case, I am referring specifically to Stonehenge in England. There's a lot of speculation on the methods used in the construction of it. Keep in mind that this was built over a period of time between about 2000 and 1500 BC. Stonehenge consists roughly of two circles of stones, the smaller inner ring. Each stone weighs about 4 tons. They were brought individually from a distance of over 200 miles away. The outer ring of stones, each one weighs in the range of 50 tons. They were brought from the closer distance of a mere 20 miles. Try that today without power equipment, roads, and heavy hauling vehicles. That was just to get the stones to their current location from where they were mined. Putting them together would have been another monumental task. Not long ago, near Flint, Michigan, a retired contractor named Wally Wallington came up with some methods that paint a very convincing picture about the construction methods that could have been used. He uses lumber, ropes, stones, natural materials to build his tools. He does not use hoists, metal levers, or any power equipment of any kind. On his own, he's demonstrated that he can move a 1-ton block about 300 feet in an hour. He's also demonstrated a method for moving a 9-ton stone block from a horizontal to a standing vertical position, again without any pulleys, hoists, or other heavy equipment. I have a link to a video where he demonstrates a variety of his techniques in the show notes. Please check it out. From the website damninteresting.com, we have an interesting article on language. What does it take to create a language? Well, either an obsessive interest in the linguistics of fictional races in fantasy and science fiction, or a desperate need to communicate when one lacks the ability to do so. Beginning roughly in the early 1980s, a group of young, illiterate deaf children in Nicaragua began the development of what has become a complete and elaborate sign language. See the show notes for the link to the damn interesting article. It is a fascinating topic. Another one of my favorite podcasts, Overclocked, recently reviewed the first device in the impending e-ink standards war. Sony has produced the Sony Reader, which may someday replace our standard paperback, hardback books for all our reading needs. I have a link to Blue Jack's podcast in my show notes. Go and listen to his episode 56 for a really in-depth review of this new technology. The last bit of news from the Fast Company magazine. There is a fascinating article about one Gordon Bell, a pioneer in the computing industry, and currently one of the engineering gurus over at Microsoft. The article concerns his plans for permanent memory systems. Not for computers, for people. Imagine if you could remember every detail of your life, recall every conversation, bring up every document you ever read, every letter you ever wrote, re-listen to every conversation you ever had, and review it. That is what Mr. Bell is proposing using easily available technology today. Check out the latest issue of Fast Company magazine for this really fascinating article. I will be right back after we take a quick break.
All games considered promo, take one. Carol, you max out on charisma while Chris and I play a drop of Nelson's blood.
Wait, what's this in the script about a Monty Python ripoff?
Mark, haven't these been done already?
Well, we need some kind of gimmick.
We don't need a gimmick. We just need to tell people that All Games Considered is a podcast about tabletop gaming, gamers...
And gamer culture.
Gamer culture.
Just go with it.
Yeah, we talk about board games, role-playing games, ways to improve your game. Might even help you save a little cash with cheap gaming tips.
And other little-known games people may want to try.
And we can always point out neat conventions to go to.
Good, good. Keep going.
And I suppose they can find that information along with the RSS feeds, Frapper map and forum links, and show notes on allgamesconsidered.blogspot.com.
And?
We're part of PEN's Gaming Podcast Network and Goblin, the Gaming Broadcast Network.
Right, but how do we work the Mythic Heroes journey into that?
Never mind. Just listen to the show.
I recently had a conversation with a good friend of mine. We were comparing illnesses that we've both had in the past. She described at one point in time that she'd come down with some kind of viral infection in her throat that gave her a very severe form of laryngitis. This was so bad that she had to spend about 6 months with a speech therapist, relearning how to talk. And it started me thinking about how many things that we take for granted in life. So much that we do, that we have, that we see, that we experience, we just presume it's there, it will always be there. We take so many things for granted. Things like flying instead of taking the train or the bus, driving instead of walking, toothpaste, dentists, cell phones, telephones, instant messaging, online forums, email, all forms of immediate contact for worldwide communication. Doctors, antibiotics, emergency rooms, aspirin, cough drops, computers and word processors, spell checkers. How about shoes, work sole inserts, or foot powder? We've got grocery stores, fresh produce, canned goods, frozen foods, convection ovens, microwaves, Twix bars, Snickers, peanut M&Ms, beef jerky, fat-free Pringles, Fuji apples, fresh broccoli, oh, and Moose Tracks ice cream. Can't forget Moose Tracks ice cream. We have gas heat, electric heat, we have air conditioning, we have insulation, winter coats, gloves, heavy boots. We can't forget hardware stores, power tools, fertilizer, lawn mowers, weed whackers, leaf blowers, curbside garbage pickup. And we have paychecks, medical coverage, direct deposit, paid vacations, 40-hour work weeks. You could view this as either only having to work 40 hours a week to make a living, or being fortunate enough to have at least 40 hours of work a week. We have ATM cards, credit cards, car loans, mortgages, decent credit ratings, maybe just mediocre credit ratings. So many of us have so many of these things, and we just take it all for granted. The touch of a hand, a kind word, a warm embrace, marriage, spouses, or significant others. Two of my dearest friends were married recently, and I have rarely seen two people happier and more in love. Congratulations once more to both of you. You know who you are. All of this rambling is actually leading somewhere. After the wedding ceremony and the reception, my wife and I spent a great deal of time talking about people we know who are married, some who are not, and a few who once were. It may sound cliché, but I absolutely believe that if you are fortunate and find that one person who has also found you, then you hold on with everything you have and do everything it takes to keep yourselves together. Do not be blind and forge ahead without looking. Use both eyes. Use both pairs of eyes. Look at each other. Look around you. Look up. Look all around. Learn, adapt, and grow together. Anything can be achieved, and any obstacle can be overcome. Patience and perseverance will see you through an awful lot in life. Are there people lacking any of these things? Absolutely. Should we be doing anything about that? If you're not, then you really haven't been paying attention to the world around you, let alone some of the past episodes of this podcast. Examine yourself and your immediate environment, and make sure you treasure appropriately what you do have. Last, never presume you will always have all of it. We often ignore what we have, not realizing just how much it meant to us until it's gone. Something maybe that can help us appreciate a little more what we do have is helping someone who lacks. So, appreciate what you have. Alright, the last bit may have gotten a little bit heavy, so let's move into something a little lighter. Why don't supervillains ever seem to succeed in their dastardly schemes? They've got the will, the resources, and the drive. I guess what they lack, despite being evil geniuses, is intelligence and common sense. Enter Edwin Windsor, Evil Efficiency Consultant. How to Succeed in Evil is the patio book and comic book by writer Patrick McLean about Edwin Windsor. Download, listen, and then laugh your eyeballs out of your skull. Don't say I didn't warn you. Here's a little bit of an intro.
Perhaps you would care to tell this court exactly what you do for a living, Mr. Windsor. My business card says Evil Efficiency Consultant. Would you like one? A small chuckle rippled through the courtroom. And are you evil? No, the title is a little ambiguous, I'll give you that. I offer advice and counsel to various villains and nefarious figures, how to improve profitability, manage their investments, secure their retirement, that kind of thing. It's really just general business consulting. No one else seemed to be in that particular line of country, so it's done very well for me. Although Edwin was the most sought-after man in his field, he uniformly disliked his clients. Now, were you actually suggesting that the accused isn't evil? He told the truth. I didn't say he wasn't evil. I said he wasn't as evil as he could have been. If Brainatar, the accused and most assuredly guilty, had followed his advice, he would never have appeared before this or any other court. An accomplished inventor, renowned in the field of biorobotics, who transplanted his brain from a perfectly good body into a multifunction pod and then went crazy when he was unable to scratch an itch on a body part he no longer had. Evil? Assuredly. Genius? Absolutely not.
How to Succeed in Evil is written and performed by Patrick McLean. For original artwork and more information, visit succeedinevil.com.
Farpoint Media.
Grasshopper, you have learned much in your training. However, to achieve ultimate geekness, you must pass one final test. You must snatch this chip from my hand, Grasshopper. I wasn't looking. You must snatch this chip from my hand. Once again, you must snatch this chip from my head. You must snatch this chip. Enough!
Learn to be a true master. Visit geekfuactiongrip.com.
The preceding program is part of the Farpoint Media family of podcasts. To find out more about Farpoint Media and the many other podcasts available, visit www.farpointmedia.net. A world of audio wonder awaits you there.
If you've listened to the show for a while now, you've probably noticed my tendency to play a lot of electronic and instrumental music for the show. While my music tastes really are much broader than what I presented here on the show, what I do showcase here is what has caught my interest in PodSafe music. And today is going to be no exception. I'm bringing back the PodSafe Music Network's very own podcast troubadour, Jeff Shields. This piece is titled Frogger 5. You can get more music from Jeff Shields at the PodSafe Music Network at music.podshow.com. Today's transition music was Ministry of Clodagh by AMB26, Less Than 7 by 37Hz, and 2012 by Beethoven, all available at music.podshow.com. I'd love to get some feedback at the blog, offtopictalk.blogspot.com. You can leave a comment or record an audio message there. You can also email me at offtopictalk@gmail.com. This show is a member of the Blueberry Podcasting Network. That's Blueberry without any E's. BLUBRRY.com. Off Topic Talk is produced under Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial Share-alike 2.5 license. Thank you for listening, everyone, and have a safe journey.